Her name is Rowan Osman, and we're going to talk about her, her life, the changes that she's made in her life, which are nothing short of extraordinary. Rowan, thank you so much for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you for having me and for the lovely introduction.
Oh, please. My goodness me. I know where we're going to be going with this, because these particular issues and what you symbolize for me are stories that make, that fascinate me, nothing less than fascinate me. I interviewed a chap called Michael Gamal probably about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, somebody who was brought up in Egypt, a hater, and he went through his moment and came to a very different conclusion. And I think, sorry, I don't want to talk too much because I actually want to talk to you, but it's just, it's important to set the scene. Being a South African, I think we were brought up to have certain stereotypes about certain people in our minds.
Yeah.
And we lived through an apartheid era. We were taught to believe that black people weren't worth the same as white people.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened, something momentous and remarkable. And so many people had to confront their preconceived ideas of what they had about certain people. And we live in a very different world right now. And really, that whole, that brings me to your story, because Ron, you were born in Syria, correct?
Yes. I actually was raised in Lebanon. I was born in Syria because of the IDF.
No way.
When my mom was about to deliver, the IDF were getting really close to where we lived in the Bekaa Valley.
Yes.
They never went that far, but my father didn't know, so he sent my mother to deliver in Damascus, where his parents live. So whenever I'm asked at the airport in Israel, why were you born in Damascus? I say, because of you guys.
Because of us guys. you haven't clarified, Muslim, Christian family?
So my father is Sunni from Damascus, and my mother is Shia from the Bekaa Valley. The fact that they intermarried,
in itself a big deal, right?
Says that they're secular. And they also sent us to a French Catholic school in Lebanon, and because it was one of the best. It still is one of the best. So I grew up in a liberal, open, progressive, kind, tolerant society. The only thing everybody hated was
Jews.
Here you go. No, wait. Jews / Zionists / Israelis. I always say this, it's becoming a cliche, but we use the three terms interchangeably. We do not make a distinction between Zionist and Jewish.
Rowan, why? I mean, I understand if you are a religious person, there are certain texts that might lead you to think like that. If you were a secular, is there something in the Ba'athist ideology? Is there something historically that... Why? Why the animosity?
Yes. I don't think that most of the Arab world hates Israel purely for religious reasons, because as you quite mentioned now, the Ba'athist ideology, there are regimes that are fairly secular, fascist, not religious at all, and yet their citizens hate Israel with such passion. Why? Let's talk about Lebanon. Let me help you imagine yourself in my shoes.
Yes.
You'd also hate the Israelis and the Zionists. Why is that? Because Israel occupied South Lebanon. So I was Hezbollah's biggest fan when I was a teenager.
Got to be kidding me.
I'm not. And I'm not proud of it. When I introduce myself saying I'm a recovered anti-Semite, my Israeli friends always tell me, don't say this about yourself. You're much better than that. No, I'm not. I'm a recovered anti-Semite, and I used to be Hezbollah's biggest fan. If we want to cure a disease, we need to have the right diagnosis. Now, why was I Hezbollah's biggest fan? Because Israel occupied South Lebanon for more than 10 years, and Hezbollah were the only organization who were brave enough to defy
the evil, to resist
the occupation. Of course, nobody told us why Israel was in the south. They forgot minor details like Yasser Arafat and his gangsters, not only Arabs, but also from around the world, Baader-Meinhof from Germany, but also from Japan. People joined Arafat, abused Lebanese territory, trained, and occasionally sent men and women to target Israeli civilians. And after many terror attacks, not only in Israel coming from Lebanon, but also in Europe and in America, Israel decided to create a buffer zone, something Israel was trying to do just now, recently. So that is one reason. A second one is I attended a French Catholic school. So every year, around Pesach, around Passover, the entire school would gather at the theater.
Yes.
And we would watch the same movie called The Passions
of the Christ.
Of the Christ. Not the one deranged Mel Gibson made, an older version, but not less graphic. And the message we left with every year was the Jews could have spared the life of God, between brackets, but they chose to spare the life of a thug and crucify God or Son of God.
Sure.
And to us, it was baby Jesus. That baby, blonde Mary, carries that statue we see every day when we walk up to class. That's another reason.
Isn't this fascinating how the memes are continuing to this day? We'll get to there later, but it's fascinating as I'm listening to you. I'm thinking the historical precedence for...
And also as a child... Yes, exactly. You detect patterns. Mm. Also as a child, all the clever ones who are involved in your upbringing, the formation of your brains... Tell a consistent story about Israel. Who are the smart ones? Your mom and dad, your family, your teachers, the clever and famous people who you see on TV, the people who wrote in the newspaper, they all told a consistent story. Add to that a fourth element, the fact that there were no more Jews living in the Arab world to protest, to contest whatever was told about them by the state. So for those of you listening to us, when people ask you to acknowledge the pain of the Palestinians, to understand the Nakba, that dramatic event that happened in Palestinian history, although it's very controversial, but even if I accept it, if I agree that 700,000 Palestinians were displaced, regardless of the reasons, we should tell them the story of more than 850,000 Jews who were uprooted from the Arab world, leaving assets and properties behind, estimated in academia roughly to the size of Lebanon and Jordan combined. But not only that, they left memories, the cemeteries of their ancestors. And today, you speak to them, they're not resentful. They moved on. They're no longer refugees. So I would hope the Palestinians do the same, but I did not know all this growing up. I hated the Jews. People hated the Jews because this is what you do as a decent person. Last factor, we have one curriculum in Lebanon, unlike Israel even. So whether you go to a private or to a public school, around the age you're 12 or 13, before you develop critical thinking, you're taught one lesson about Palestine, 3 pages. And the story goes as follows. The antagonist is called Theodor Herzl. He invented something called Zionism. According to his plan, he was going to bring the Jews who come from Eastern Europe, obviously, to come and take Palestine. You learn the date of the first World Zionist Congress in Basel. You learn the date of the Balfour Declaration, implying that the West enabled this evil to happen. And the most problematic aspect in hindsight, in my opinion, in this story, is that it implied that Palestine was a country. It tells you, as a decent person, the Palestinian cause should be your top priority. And we internalized the fact that Palestine was a country. And only when I moved to Europe and lived among Jews, I realized the very obvious that the Jews did not come from Eastern Europe, because we read about them on and on and on and on in the Quran, Bnei Yisrael, and also in the New Testament, which suggests that they're indigenous to the land. They belong among us in the so-called Middle East. Also, the epiphany, the discovery I made, having access to uncensored information in France, in this Jewish quarter. First, that the Jews were normal. Second,
how were they supposed to be not normal? What horns you and know, head?
Not necessarily. That is not to say that Arabs do not believe that. In rural areas, less educated people do choking. Truly believe that the Jews have a tail and horns.
Oh my goodness.
But not in the society where I grew up. They are evil. They only care about one another and they harm others. And they always have an agenda. So realizing that they're normal people was already a discovery. Add to that.
It's that moment that I'm absolutely fascinated in, because you've been grown up with all these prejudices. It's really hard to allow the smallest ray of light in to think about things differently. How did that happen?
Very simple. You know, in the Arab world, most of the Arab world, I should say, after the historic signing of the Abraham Accords, which changed reality, in most of the Arab world, embedded in constitutions and basic laws are anti-normalization laws and policies forbidding people-to-people contact between the citizens of those countries and Israelis, even abroad. Example, a Lebanese, a Kuwaiti, an Algerian, an Iraqi. Meet an Israeli in a pub in London or in Sydney. They're forbidden by law from speaking to them. And why is that? Why were those anti-normalization laws and policies introduced as early as in the 50s to dehumanize the Jews? Also, if you speak to an Israeli, you're going to realize they're normal people. This was the discovery I made in France when I saw my first four Jews and had a panic attack.
That's exactly what I was interested in. Who were these four Jews?
These were just four religious Jews. You could tell because they had pears and they were dressed in black and white. And when I saw them in the grocery store, in a tiny grocery store that happened to be a kosher store, I saw them and my reaction was to leave not only my shopping, but my personal belongings, my passport, my wallet.
Because you're frightened.
Run away, wait. Oof. I did not look left and right when I crossed the street. I went up to the third floor to my bedroom and locked the door. And then I looked at the mirror and I was so embarrassed because I was sweaty, I was red, and I was thinking, that was stupid. I left my stuff in the store. So I had to lie to the storekeeper. I went back, told him I forgot my wallet.
Wow.
And the man had left. And when I went to pay, as if nothing happened, he asked me, where are you from? And I thought, now it's his turn to have a panic attack. So I tried to be vague. I said, the Middle East. He said, where from in the Middle East? And I said, okay, I'm half Syrian, half Lebanese. And he asked me, how long have you lived in the neighborhood? Told him, I just arrived today. And he knew. He knew what happened earlier. And yet, he was pleasant. He allowed me to save face. He helped me with my bags. And on that day, that gentleman converted me from an enemy to an ally. Because I felt compelled to ask myself, why did my body react that way? The man didn't even look at me. And I realized that I reacted that way because for the first time in my life, I was sharing the same space with a Jew, the enemy. And for the first time in my life, I asked myself, why is the Jew my enemy? I've never spoken to a Jew. To realize that my entire perception of Israel and the Jews was formed by the one and only former Secretary General of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah. So it made sense to me. The first thing I did is type his name on YouTube, and I found a video in black and white where Hassan Nasrallah said, we in Hezbollah do not acknowledge political borders, and we want Lebanon to become part of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I thought, oops, what? I did not subscribe to that agenda. Do people know? And I learned later, of course, people knew because Hezbollah in the 80s published their manifesto in the newspapers. But to me, these were discoveries. And when I started relearning the history of our region, I became very angry for a long time. Why? Because I was disappointed and furious knowing how intensively brainwashed and indoctrinated we were. But this is not only on a theoretical level. This led to the death of tens of thousands of people, if not more. And why? Because of the entitled attitude of the Arabs. Had they accepted to share the land with the Jews, all those lives would have been spared. I have war trauma. I grew up. I survived many wars with Israel. So did my parents and their parents. We all have war trauma in the Middle East, especially the Israelis. Why is that? Because the Jews came from Eastern Europe.
I'm horribly aware of the time. I wish we had double the time to talk. In fact, I'm still going to persuade you to come back and talk to me some more. But I really do want to understand. So you've made this realization. You've realized that there's dehumanization going on that isn't accurate or correct. What does one do with that information when you know that it comes at such a cost vis-a-vis, I would imagine, your family, your friends, everybody you know? The maths doesn't work. Why Why the conversion moment?
Because you have very few minutes. I'm going to answer this way. You know, a lot of people in the Arab world, also in the West, loathe the Jews because of the notion of the chosen people. Yeah. Like, why are you better than others? Why are you chosen? So Judaism taught us, and I learned this at university when I studied Jewish studies. Judaism, the story goes, the message, the mission was offered to everybody on this planet, and only the Jews accepted. You are chosen because you also reciprocated. You agreed to this mission, knowing that entails consequences. In that sense, you are chosen. It's a privilege, but there are consequences that come with the package. And when I realized that I'm a Jew, and please do not question my sanity, it's such an overwhelming feeling. When I realized that, I knew that Hashem bestowed such a gift upon me, and I'm old enough to know that there's nothing for free in life. Not that Hashem needs anything from me, but when you receive something that is so glorious, you have to give back, and to give back not to Hashem, to my people. On October 7th, I knew how I was supposed to give back by sharing with the world that I'm converting, which reminds the Jews that there's nothing wrong with you and everything wrong with the world. That encourages the Jews to remember they have a spine, use it. Stop apologizing for your existence. I wear the Star of David even before I decided to convert to Judaism, because Israel is such a miracle. And the Star of David that I wear around my neck shoots in six different directions, but it shares the center. And my mission is to remind the Jews of their own mission, whether they keep kosher or not. At some point, your crazy, miserable ancestor accepted the mission, and you'd better get to work, because we are dramatically outnumbered. And if I dare say this out loud with the consequences, no matter who blocked me or wished death upon me, you too, as a Jew, should try and help us roll your sleeves up, because we can all contribute our bit in our different capacities. But I think this is my mission and my privilege.
We're out of time. I've got to leave it there. I don't know if you can see. I've got tears in my eyes listening to you. I think you are the most remarkable person that I have met in the last, I don't know how long. Just keep doing what you are doing. You are an inspiration to all of us. And we need voices like yours in times when we're feeling so incredibly marginalized. So thank you. What a gift it has been having you with us here on Chai FM.